Hey Rob.
Yeah.
It's NAMM Show.
It's a wrap.
It's time to get your gear on. New gear on Guitar Radio Show. GuitarRadioShow.com.
Everybody, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Rob and I are here to do this again. It's the NAMM Show 2024. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. So, last year, everybody was saying, NAMM is dead. And to be honest with you, I was kind of wondering myself. And early this month, I was expecting to see a whole lot more, you know, preliminary information, and there was nothing. And I was like, I kept on texting you and saying, dude, I think this is going to be lame. What's going on? What's going on? And then as NAMM weekend started Thursday, we started getting inundated, and we got inundated with some cool shit.
Which
I'm very, very impressed. And we're not even talking about the big three a whole bunch here. We're talking about a whole bunch of other really, really cool stuff that I'm really excited about. And at the end of this, Rob and I are going to do our top five picks of new gear that we would most certainly buy and probably will and might during the show. Who knows? Rob and I have been
it's
on
a good possibility.
Yeah. Rob and I have been on a gear buying frenzy since the first of the year.
It's like Mako sharks and, you know, blood water. It's crazy.
Piranha tanks.
And you know the biggest problem is that we egg each other on. You know.
Yeah, just yesterday, like folks, I just got a Yamaha Revstar and I freaking love it. It's such a great guitar, and I mean, talk about perfect. It stays in tune so good. I mean, you know, everybody bitches and moans about the G string on the on Gibsons, you know, which I usually don't have a huge problem with anyway. But the angle on that headstock is so slight. It's not that extreme angle like on the Gibson. The guitar stays in tune perfectly. Perfectly. It's great.
So and then you go and make little videos.
I send him videos of sound checks of the guitar, and he got excited. So what happened then? What happened when you got excited?
I went and had to find one myself.
And then what'd you do?
I hemmed and hawed, and you were like, you would tell me to buy it, right? I'm like, I can't be a hypocrite. So I have ordered mine as well.
That's right. God damn it. And and later on, after once he gets his and he gets friendly with it, he and I are going to do a comparison, and we'll talk about that. We'll do an episode on that, or a section of an episode on that. We've got lots of cool stuff coming up the road.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting 2024.
It is. It's so far, it's really turning out pretty cool. So, but yeah, so here we are. It's a wrap on NAMM and
NAMM. I like to call it my Super Bowl.
Yes, you know? Your Super Bowl. I definitely enjoy it.
We take bets on who's going to release what. You know, it's the whole thing.
What's the over under? Oh God. But yeah, I'm really impressed. And so we're going to get into this. And
do you think that because they moved it back to January, that it had more of the original mojo? Because, you know, everybody was saying it was dead, and, you know, this is going to be the nail in the coffin. And, like, even guys like Dave Friedman was like, he wasn't even going. And then he's there showing stuff. Granted, with Boutique's amps, you know, yeah. It wasn't just his own booth, but he was there presenting new stuff. And I'm like, yeah, so I don't think it's dead. I think that, you know, where other trade shows are dying, I read, like, you know, they said, like, the video game trade show said they're done forever. Like, the interest is not there to have a trade show for it. I guess they can just do it all via YouTube and online announcements. But I think in the guitar community, we want this.
Well, yeah, and you want to be there.
I think that we're going to keep it alive.
You want to touch it. You want it's a very tangible, it's a very palpable, visceral experience to do this. You know what I mean? So I think it's fine. I mean, you know, this year NAMM is 122 years old.
Wow. I didn't realize it was going on that long.
Yeah. It was originally called something else. It was mostly about pianos and band instruments before.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you imagine back then they were premiering their new sousaphone?
Yeah, they were.
Check out the new sousaphone.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what they were doing. Steinway and all the other piano companies. It was all about that. And they were selling it to schools, and they were selling it to, you know, other businesses that were selling to schools and stuff like that, you know. It's 122 years old. So, you know, not to say that there aren't other organizations, because NAMM is an organization that, you know, that didn't survive 122 years. There are plenty of those. But I think because of the palpatory nature of this stuff that we're talking about, you know, I think it's here to stay. I don't think it's really going anywhere. I will say that I really was concerned last year. But you know what? I think, once again, you know, post-pandemic, things and people are like, oh, everything's back to normal. Well, not from a business standpoint. You know, I have several businesses and they're all wonky, still trying to find the proper footing in the new world post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not from a revenue standpoint, from a product standpoint, from a customer service standpoint, you know, it's commerce is very different post-pandemic, and a lot of people didn't make it. A lot of people didn't make it. So, you know, here we are. And I think things are starting to, and I said this after the pandemic, I said, this is going to take 5 years for things to start righting themselves. And whatever is going to look like on the other side will be determined, you know. And I think that's where we're at. I think that's what's happening. It's starting to level out. It certainly was well attended by both dealers and, buyers. So, you know, I think it's going to be good. I think there were some great products, and I think there were some really stupid products that were released. and we're going to talk about a bunch of that stuff. Where do you want to start? Do you want to just start at the top of our list?
Yeah, we can start right with the MXR product.
Okay. So MXR released the Joshua Delay. Now, they released this before, a good bit before, like a week.
But I consider all that stuff, yeah, anything that came out within the last 2 weeks before NAMM is a NAMM release.
I agree with you, 100%. I agree with you. I heard it. I haven't tried one yet, but I absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a great, and you know, their video demo and everything, great sounding delay. I mean, it is. It's the edge in a box.
It is the edge in a box, yeah. Although that would be the DD3.
Well, you know, everything is all, you know, repackaged in a different way.
But this seems to go elsewhere, this one. The one thing that I don't like about it is there's way too many freaking knobs. I don't want that many knobs, man. you know,
I am starting to be like that too in my, you know, advanced age.
What are you trying to say, Rob?
Well, you're more advanced age. Maybe, in my advanced age, I don't need 6 knobs. It's too much.
You gotta say that. You gotta say that in a Yiddish accent. 6 knobs is too much. I can't take it. It's enough with the knobs already. With the knobs. But yeah, no, I agree. It's but it sounds absolutely amazing, and I would love to play with it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait till it actually hits stores, like global to me, where I could demo one.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's one that I don't know if I would just be willing to go, you know, send me one. Let me see if I like it. You know what I mean? I do that a lot.
Yeah, me too. You and I, we like to do samplers.
Yeah.
Let me sample this. Oh, I don't like it. I'll sell it.
Right.
I don't know if I want to take the investment on that one.
Yeah.
And then try to sell it.
Yeah.
I would have to, I think I want to try it first.
Yeah.
I'm picky with delays, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely, I agree with you. So it's going for $239 on Sweetwater,
Which isn't bad. Like, you know, I mean, it's more than everybody likes to cap out at that $199 mark is like the price point for everything lately.
Right.
But it seems like when you get to these like fancier delays, like for the tone and stuff like that, like, you know, that TC just released, what is it, the 2280 or whatever, that they reissued theirs.
Right.
And when you look, they're like $400 delays. So this, in retrospect, in comparison to those price points, it's actually quite reasonable for what it does.
Yeah. And now if you remember when Boss released the RE2 Space Echo, the compact version, when it first hit the streets, it was $249. And I was like, I want one so bad, but I'm not willing to pay $249 for this. That's absurd.
Right.
I just thought that was crazy talk. Now, I just picked one up a week ago, for $149.
Well, that's what's going to happen is next year.
And it's new.
Later in this year, when it approaches that November mark, you and I are going to be buying these.
We're going to go nuts.
From our friends in Brooklyn.
Yeah, right. From our friends in Brooklyn.
Steep discount.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of which, I found something last night. I meant to talk to you about it, but we'll talk about it in a second. But when we get the fuzzes. But yeah, this will go down in price. And, you know, other dealers too. You know, certainly our friends in Brooklyn will do that. You know, but yeah, and that's, you know, I might go try one somewhere and then go, okay, I'm going to just sit tight and wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But, you know, I know that some of you out there are thinking, screw that, I need it now. And that's okay. That's totally fine.
Oh, yeah, and good on you if you buy it now.
Yeah,
you get
right
a nice,
on.
You get a nice delay.
Yeah. Also, folks, just a heads up, if you go to guitarradioshow.com, go to the show notes on this episode, you'll find all the links to all the videos and all the information regarding all the gear that we talk about today. So you can go down your own rabbit hole. All right, want to move on?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, with the MXR thing, though,
we
had a note about the Randy Rhoads pedal that's coming
right,
out. Didn't make it in time.
Right, it didn't make it in time.
So,
why didn't it make it on time? Do we know?
I was thinking, because they were kind of vague, but said that it was, you know, a production problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they're having trouble getting whatever parts they want to use for it, and they're going to have to substitute something else.
Right.
That's the vibe that I picked up. So when you were talking about how in the new world, it's like I work for a corporation involving machinery and, you know, computerized machinery, and we still have a hard time getting chips and stuff.
Sure, I believe
so. I'm guessing that that's what stole that, because that looks cool, and I would have bought that like right on release.
So
but now it's not going to come until the summer.
Right. So this is the Polkadot MXR Distortion Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I recall, wasn't this there was something different about this Randy's actual Distortion Plus? It was modded.
I think that's what they're saying. So I don't know. I own a vintage 1979 Distortion Plus,
right,
and I have the reissue, and I wanted to get this to compare to see how it, where it falls between those two.
Right.
Because I know the reissue has more gain than the actual original pedal.
Right. So I heard a story that when they built his pedal board, can't remember the name of the guy who built his pedal board when he was with Ozzy, they went ahead and they poured epoxy all into the back of the pedal board so everything would be solid and it wouldn't move around and nothing would get damaged.
Okay.
Which inhibited the ability to look at it anymore or get to the parts. That was something I heard. I don't know how true that is, but that's something I read once. So it's interesting. I mean, if it's just a Distortion Plus and there's nothing else special.
With a cool paint job.
Yeah, with a paint job. It's like, all right, no thanks. You know, I mean, and we don't know the price point for this yet either.
Well, I think the regular Distortion Plus is what, like $129 now?
Right.
I'm sure this is going to fetch a premium. I bet you this is closer to $199 more.
You think $199?
Somewhere between $149 and $199.
All right. Well, let's see.
I mean, unless they're doing it as super limited, you know, and they're only making 100 of them, then it'll ask you something silly.
Yeah. I it would be great if they got somebody of note to do the demo for the company.
It should be Zach Wilde.
That would be perfect.
Right? Wouldn't that would bring it full circle?
Yeah.
I would accept Zach Wilde's
endorsement. Yeah, if he endorsed it, yeah. So that should be interesting. I'm really looking forward to hearing it, though. Absolutely.
You know, Jakey Lee, too. I would accept Jakey Lee.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that Zach would do a better demo.
Yeah, I agree. And Jake's not really, I don't think that's really his scene, you know. He's not.
No.
Yeah, I mean, Zach is a very gregarious guy, as we all know. And he could bring action figures with him, so that would be fine. All right, next we have, this goes in the WTF file, the Machine Gun Kelly Razorblade Signature Guitar.
Now, you know, Schecter, I like Schecter. I appreciate what they do. I think they build fine guitars. They build for a lot of other builders.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, I mean, I thought it was a joke like everybody else did, like it was a Chipson joke.
Right.
And I'm like, this is kind of silly.
Well, I saw Alex Skolnick playing one.
I did. I saw him playing that too.
Yeah. And he was actually pretty surprised how nice the guitar was.
I'm sure it's made well. It's not for me.
It's just goofy as hell.
I like goofy stuff. Like,
yeah, no. Hey, look, I have a guitar that's shaped like Garfield the cat. So, you know, I'm, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The razor blade. Hey, I don't know. Yeah. I would like to see Eric Johnson play it, but, you know.
Cliffs of Dover with a razor blade. That's funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. They should mail him on the tour right now.
Oh, my God. That would be great. All right. Well, then I guess we don't have much we want to really talk about that.
No, that Schecter offered this year was that. They're like, here, look what we made. It's like,
yeah,
you bought a booth to show us this?
And probably, and maybe some new colors.
Yeah, that was the theme through all of NAMM is, hey, look, we got new colors.
We got new colors.
That's what I picked up the most. Yeah. Like, oh, everybody's got new colors, and that's what they want to tell you about.
From a
colors.
Guitar standpoint, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So next we hear that Yamaha Guitar Group acquired Guild, Cordoba, and D'Armond pickups.
Mm-hmm.
So this is interesting to me. Now, usually when this happens, it doesn't mean that they're going to like bring them into their factory, and you know, it could mean that they just leave them with whatever factory they're making their instruments in currently. Well, they're just,
yes,
you know,
that's what I heard is because Cordoba was a smaller company,
right.
They acquired Cordoba, so it gives Cordoba, because Cordoba owned Guild and D'Armond's, they bought them from Fender.
Okay.
And Cordoba, this gives them the opportunity to be able to scale up their production.
Okay.
So as far as I know, from what I had read, is they're still in charge of Guild, but Yamaha is the parent company.
Yeah.
So it'll help them. So they're still building them in their same factories.
Uh-huh.
Okay. As of what I had, you know.
Well, that's heard. Good. That's good. Because Guild, you know, once again, one of those great guitar lines that a lot of people don't really pay attention to that much. I mean, people
that is the sleeper guitar. Yeah, Guild. Guild's yeah. Fantastic.
And people that play Guild guitars or try a Guild guitar go, what was I thinking? You know, that's how I feel about the Yamaha. Like, you know, I played Yamaha acoustics for years, but I never played any of the electrics because I could never really find a lefty. And I keep talking about this Revstar. I'm so pleased with it. And that's how I feel about Guild. Great acoustic guitars, wonderful electric guitars.
Phenomenal acoustics, phenomenal archtops. Actually, a guy local to me was one of the original archtop builders, still alive. And he would build, when Guild moved from New Jersey up to Rhode Island, he didn't want to uproot his family. Mm. So he stayed here and just built basically Guild guitars under his own name, which was Fedor Fetovich. And like have some of his archtops, that they're hand-built archtops and everything. And I mean, everything that he builds feels exactly like Guild, because he was a cabinet maker that got a job working at Guild. So he didn't play or anything. He just knows building, you know, archtops and guitars through Guild. And I mean, phenomenal instruments. And all Guilds. I mean, I love all the vintage Guilds. And the newer ones that, you know, since Cordoba's owned them, I have a few.
Right.
And they're fantastic. Right. So, which I'm excited about. I guess if we can tie, you know, all this talk into the same thing, because Guild announced their new S100, you know, like Kim Thiel plays the S100, the SG-looking one. Mm-hmm. So they added to that line. You can get the Kim Thiel line for still the American one. It's like $5,000. But then they got now, they call the deluxe model, which is street priced at $699. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, too humble. Like, it's like a 70s Guild Polara. And then they got a line a little bit cheaper than that, the standard line or whatever, which has just a volume and a tone instead of two volumes, two tones, and no coil tap.
Right.
And dot inlays. And that streets at like $549, it said. So, I mean, for the extra $150, I'd rather have the classic looking one. Right. But, I mean, I'd like to get one of those.
Yeah, I would love to pick up a Starfire at some point.
I have a Starfire. It's great guitar.
Yeah, and they're friendly to lefties, so that's cool too. So, yeah, great. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do. Hopefully there'll be a lot more, you know, positive marketing and upfront marketing regarding the line. That'd be great.
Yeah, I hope that they push. I mean, because with the D-Armon pickups and stuff, Guild always has its own sound. It doesn't sound like, you know, their humbuckers just, they don't sound like Gibson's.
Yeah.
And it's just its own thing, almost like, you know, how Gretsch has its own thing. Guild has its own sound.
Absolutely. I agree. So onward and upward to Ibanez. So they, there's a new Pat Metheny model. There's an Andy Timmons model. A new one that was kind of cool looking. I didn't get to hear it though. Did you?
No, I didn't see anything but them just show the pictures of you know, stuff.
So that
the only one that I got to hear is probably what you're going to say next.
And
I think that the Iceman, which I'm excited about the Iceman.
Yeah, that's cool. And the prices on that are really reasonable. For that Iceman. I mean, I think it starts at $749.
Yeah, and then I forget what the upcharge is for the flame top or
it
whatever.
It goes to
it's like $50.
$799. Yeah.
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 So, but that demo, that guy Deegan, he made it. I mean, he makes everything sound great, but that demo, I was like, I have a Paul Stanley Iceman.
Yeah.
I just love that shape. I mean, that's a rock and roll shape, if anything, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean,
you can't get more rock and roll than the Iceman.
Well, I think it defines a decade.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
That is the late 70s right
there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not a guitar that I would say, oh, I got to have it, only because, you know, I'm going to play it once and it's going to go get put away and then I'll never see it again.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I mean, I leave mine on the stand and I love to look at it and I play it and I play, you know, Detroit Rock City.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I do shout outs like I'm playing Kiss Alive. And then I put, after a Kiss song, I put it down. I'm like, that was cool. And that's the end of it.
Would you say you don't rock and roll all night and party every day? What do you do?
No, I rock and roll some of the night and a party every other day.
That's it. Yeah, that's good. I think that's safe. That's safe. You don't want to break a hip.
Yeah, well, I need rest. I'm old.
Okay. Let's bypass that one, the next one. And let's go over to Gibson amps.
Okay. Those Falcon reissues.
Yeah. Starting at $14.99. And that's what for the 5-watt?
Yeah.
And then goes up to $17.99 for the 20-watt.
Yeah, but they're not, it's not, they're the 5. So this is, I just learned this. It's 5 and 20. That's not the wattage. That should be the wattage, but it's not the real wattage.
What's the wattage?
So really, I think the 20 watt is actually 12 watts. And the 5 watt, I think, was 7 watts.
Hang on, I'm pulling it up. Gibson Falcon. There we go.
It's cool that, you know, it's historically they made those amps, so it's nice that they're bringing back an amp.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the Gibson Falcon 20 is 12, and the Gibson Falcon 5 is 7. That's so stupid. Why did they do that?
Right? Wouldn't you just go, because the original ones, I'm guessing, must have been a 20 and a 5, I guess. I don't know. It's weird that they
that's so confusing.
That, right?
Okay. More divine wisdom from our buddies over there. Okay.
But they're authentic. So that's all.
They're authentic.
Playing authentic.
Yeah, and they were designed and redone by Randall Smith.
Yeah, so I mean, you're getting a pretty Mesa Boogie.
Right. You know, as long as I imagine, is it point to point?
No, it's circuit board.
So it's circuit board. Okay, so if it's circuit board like Randall Smith has been using in the Boogies over the last 15 years, there's a lot of issues with that from my standpoint.
Yeah, you don't want to be the tech that's got to work on.
Well, and here in Austin, there isn't a single tech that will work on a Boogie that is later than 88.
I believe that because here we got a really phenomenal tech and he won't touch him. He actually, I have a Rivera that took a crap and he didn't want to touch that. And he took it apart and he's like, hey, this is very circuit boardy. And he's like, you need to take it to this guy. And I didn't know this other guy existed here. And he tells me this is his forte. And when I don't want to get involved, I send it to him. So I go and I see this other guy. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I do all the Mesa Boogies. He's like, nobody wants to touch circuit boards. He's like, but I'll touch any circuit board. He's like, because I do synthesizer, I do. Wow. So I'm like, okay. I know of one guy around here that'll do any of the modern stuff.
Yeah, so I had a Nomad. I had a 550 Express. I had, what else did I have? The Subway. I had four Boogies here. And whenever anything went wrong with them, nobody would touch them. They said, nope, sorry, go away. No, no, no. So I was like, okay, that's it. The only Boogie I'll play now is the 1984 SOB. That's it.
Oh, that's a great amp.
That's a great amp. It's simple, straight ahead. There's no circuit boards. And that people will work on it. And that's why I ended up, but I don't have one anymore. I had two of them. I don't have them anymore. And now they're starting to bump up in price in a big way. So I'll just stick with the Vox.
Well, they're bumping up because you keep advertising them on the show. You can't give away all of our secrets, Mark. We won't be able to buy our stuff.
So anyway, these Gibson amps, they do sound good.
Yeah.
But if they're circuit board and they're Randall Smith circuit boards, I'll pass. Especially at that price.
And at the end of the day, I think in that price point, I'd rather just get a Fender. You know, if I want something vintage sounding in that kind of vein, that American vintage sound,
right,
I'm probably just going to lean towards like a Deluxe.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go.
Or a Princeton. So, you know. Right.
Yeah, Princeton. There you go. There you go.
Do you want to lump all the Gibson stuff into right now?
Sure, might as well. Might as well.
Yeah, that would make the most sense. Yeah. So I'm excited about the Kirk Hammett Les Paul Custom.
Are you really?
For $9,000. You know why I'm excited about it?
Why?
Because it's a model of his 1989 Les Paul Custom that I don't even remember him playing, but apparently he played on the Injustice for All tour.
Uh-huh.
So his 1989 Les Paul Custom.
Right.
Well, I have a 1988 triple pickup Les Paul Custom, so I hope it drives the prices through the roof on the older ones. So I'm thinking, you know, I think that Gibson just wants to catch anything they can with Kirk Hammett right now, because mm-hmm. Whenever I think of Kirk Hammett, I think of a Ouija board ESP or any ESP really, but even from, you know, back to the Justice for All days and stuff, I'm thinking ESP. I looked and I did see pictures of him playing Les Paul Custom, but I don't associate him with that. So I think they're just going through his collection going, holy crap, you got a Les Paul Custom? We're going to make a reissue of this.
Yeah.
When I make it $9,000 and people go crazy, and then we'll release, you know, an Epiphone version later.
When I saw them in the clubs, he played it. He played that. And he played it for the Monsters of Rock tour with Van Halen.
Did he?
Yeah.
Only
on a couple of songs.
Yeah. I mean, I remember him playing the black Gibson Flying V's when they did that 79 Flying V reissue last year. I mean, I kind of understood that. Yeah. The Les Paul Custom, I don't know. I mean, I like Kirk Hammett.
Me too.
And I like Les Paul Customs. But I don't know. I'm hoping it drives up the prices of the real ones. I got 80s Gibsons. I'm hoping between that, now they got the 88 / Les Paul Standard reissue.
Yes.
You know, the one that he used. So like, I hope that brings 80s Les Paul Standards up, because I have 80s Les Paul Standards.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, and the whole thing with / and the Les Paul, it's just so funny to me, because the one that he recorded the Appetite with wasn't even a Gibson. Yeah. So, you know.
Right.
That, right. It just cracks me up, you know. I mean, that's like saying, you know, I mean, granted, the guitar was custom made, handmade or whatever, and it was made in America, but essentially it's a Gibson. You know what I mean? Because it's not a Gibson. No,
exactly. There's no, that's a blurred line there. It's, you know.
Very blurred.
Except that it was made in America versus Asia. It's fake.
It's not real, right? And yet it says Gibson on it. So, and you know, it's funny because you would think that Gibson, being as litigious as they are, they would have a real problem with that. But they're trying to cash in. But that's
well. When they reissued the Sweet Child guitar, I laughed. You know, years ago when they reissued it, because I'm like, they're reissuing a copy of a copy, basically.
Yeah.
Because they're copying his, you know, Sweet Child guitar.
Right.
That wasn't a Gibson, so they're copying a copy.
Right. Yeah, that's funny.
Blew my mind.
It's so weird. Is that it for Gibson?
Well, yeah, unless you want to bring into the Epiphone part of Gibson.
Yeah, we could do that. Sure, let's do that.
All right, well, I think that was a home run.
The whole line.
The release.
I think is great. So. Yeah. And the release of soon to be released. We don't know when or how much the Epiphone DG335 is going to be, the Dave Grohl.
They're going to sell a ton of them.
Trini Lopez, because that's what it is. It's a Trini Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much as the same way as that other, what's that gal's name? Emily Wolf, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, which is a Trini Lopez. It's got the diamond
hole. That Sheridan that she's got. Yeah. The diamonds.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, I'm super excited about it because, first of all, I love 335s. I love dots. I love those semi-hollows, especially the Epiphones. I think I was telling you just in texts the other day. I just freaking love them. They're so solid. The neck profile is amazing. They're just great.
Yeah, that's right, because I picked up that Riviera with the mini humbuckers.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about. I mean, that's a great guitar.
What a great guitar.
Epiphone is really on point. Their prices are going up because they're on point.
Sure.
That's the drag of it. But, yeah. I mean, because I'm curious what they're going to charge for this Grohl. I'm going to guess it's going to be at the $1,200 mark.
Yeah, I figure. I figure.
Yeah. So, but they're going to sell a ton of them because people wait a long time for that.
They have been. They have been.
Because they only ever did that one custom shop run. And that one, when they came out, they were expensive. And as soon as people got them, they were flipping them for like, you know, $6,000 to $8,000.
Wow. So, yeah, I saw Dave playing one, one Epiphone, and it sounded great, looked great. It did what it had to do. It sounded as good as the Gibson. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it actually in a store and try it.
Yeah, definitely. As I said to you yesterday, I don't imagine there being a lefty for it. So I'll just have to yearn.
Yeah,
that's fine.
I don't know about that. Yeah, there could be though. I don't know. Epiphone seems to do a lot more left-handed models.
They do.
Gibson counterpart.
Yeah. But so we'll see what happens on that.
So one more exciting thing from Gibson was I'm so glad that they decided to release the Theodore as a standard line for, you know, to make it a $1,900 guitar, because that is, everybody was so clamoring to get that, you know, a year or two ago when it came out. So I'm glad that that'll be, you know, obtainable now. I'm also glad Paul Reed Smith is suing them over it. Because at least now there's context. When I saw the release that said Paul Reed Smith is suing them over the Theodore, I'm like, that guitar is like 2 years old. Why are they suing them now?
Right.
And then when I see, oh no, they're re-releasing it, I'm like, oh, good. Yeah. You know what?
Now
somebody needs to shove it to Gibson a little bit.
Right. Now we have a context. Yeah. It's so funny. That's funny. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I really don't. I mean, I had zero interest when I saw the guitar. The only thing that I thought was cool was the fact that they had found a drawing from Ted McCarty and they decided to make a guitar. And the fact that they did a limited run, even for the price that they did, I thought, that's cool. All right. Not something I would ever buy. Really just made for the collector. High-end collector.
Yeah. Saw it in Dallas, and
we saw a bunch of
person. It was like, yeah, it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, meh,
you know,
meh. Yeah, I don't.
I'm not mad that it exists, but I don't really care about it.
I don't care. No, and you know, honestly, I think there's a reason that McCarty didn't put it out. You know what I mean? Mm. I think there's a reason for that.
Of course.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because he probably's like, meh, this isn't that good to design. I'll just put it away, and that's the end of it, and forget about it.
And you know, I'm sure that previous owners of Gibson knew that existed, you know, and was probably like, throw it back in the file.
Right. I mean, it looked like some of those Japanese tulip guitars that came out in the late 60s, early 70s that you could get for $35.
Yeah, and it always reminded me of the Rickenbacker tulip, too.
Yes, that too. Absolutely. So, yeah.
But I just want to see if Paul Reed Smith and the McCarty family win, because they say that Gibson had no right to use anything doing with Ted McCarty or even insinuate it has to do with him, what they're going to have to rename it to, you know, or they can't call it the Theodore or this. I just love to hear what the new name will have to be.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm. Ready Teddy.
Me neither.
So ready to move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. You lead me. I will talk.
Okay. So, yeah, you talk. I love when you talk. the Wolfie EVH guitar. So it's the Wolfgang special striped red, black, and white, like his dad's. It's cool.
Oh, you're talking about the Wolfgang guitar special, not Wolfie's signature.
No, not Wolfie's signature. No, the Wolfgang special striped red, black, and white.
Oh, yeah, those are cool because they did them years ago in a limited run.
Right.
Now to make it like an actual standard option is pretty cool.
And it's not a crazy price. It's $1,600. And, you know, it's got all the bells and whistles for $1,600. And I don't see them really cutting corners here. It looks great.
No, all those Wolfgang guitars, all throughout the line, you know, the Indonesian ones, the Mexican ones, the Japanese ones, and the American ones, they are all fantastic instruments.
Yeah.
I've had them at all those price points, and they are all, I mean, they're all just really fantastic tools.
Yeah. Yeah. cool instrument. Not something I would play, but very cool.
Oh, I played them. I'm a very big fan of Stripes and all that stuff. So that when I saw those come out, I was like, yes, I am okay with this. I need one.
Uh-huh.
But I don't need one, but I need one. You know how it is.
I do. All right, ESP.
Wait, you skipped right over Wolfie's actual guitar.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
SA-126.
Yeah, where is that? That's further down the list here, I think.
Oh yeah, I figure we're just grouping it
together. Yeah, go ahead. No, that's the way to do it. Go ahead.
Those were their offerings. They're giving you colors, and then they got this Wolfgang that he's been playing that prototype for years.
Yeah,
and people have been waiting for it to come out, so it's cool. I think the price point was $2,000 on it.
Right.
So, which means I'm not sure if it's going to be Mexican made then or Japanese made at that price point, because that's like where it starts to transition.
Yeah.
So, but cool. I mean, it's basically a flat top, semi hollow, Wolfgang looking guitar.
Right. So, who's actually building it?
Fender builds all this.
Right. I thought so. Okay. So, yeah, that would be an interesting factory tour to see those guitars being built. That would be fascinating. I'd like to see that.
There's an older factory tour of the ones being built from a few years ago where Chip Ellis, who runs, you know, the actual production for EVH and Charvel. And
for the semi-hollows?
Takes you through. No, not the semi-hollows, but the Wolfgangs and stuff. There's nothing about the semi-hollows yet.
Yeah, so that's what that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm curious to try it. I was hoping they were going to release the Wolfgang bass because I know that's coming down the pike, but it's not out yet.
Yeah. So. I think it's cool that he's doing his own thing. He's not, you know, he's not riding on his dad's coattails at all as far as the design.
He seems like a really nice, really nice dude. So
he does.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
Then they had one other guitar. They re-released the Crop Circle guitar, you know, the Unchained video guitar.
Right.
They had that out a few years ago. They re-released it now. But a few years ago, it was a gloss finish. What I understand, the new one is matte finish.
Right.
And that was all that I got out of that camp.
All right. What's next? ESP.
ESP, yep.
I was really impressed by what I saw. I mean, look, I'm not a shredder by any stretch of the imagination. There was a time when I could play a little bit like that,
right?
But I don't do that. But these guitars are gorgeous. Some of them really cool. I've never owned an ESP. Have you owned ESP?
Yeah, I have the Vernon Reid signature.
Oh, wow!
The Cult guitar, the way they did that. 86 of them. I have number 10.
Whoa! I didn't know that. That's cool.
I know. You know what's sad is not last year. Last year and the year before. Vernon Reid did a thing down here and there was like a meet and greet and I went and I told him I have the guitar, mm-hmm. but I didn't bring it with me. Mm-hmm. He's like, you should have brought it with you. I'd have signed it. And I'm like, damn. So I'm like, next time you come to a thing, just bring the guitar with you. I'll make sure to sign it. Yeah. So that's my goal now at the end of signing.
That's cool. There's a new Living Color record on being made right now.
Yeah. They're one of my favorite bands. So I can't wait.
Yeah. I saw them when they first broke. I saw them once at CBGB's when they were early on. Mm-hmm. And then I saw them when they first broke, when the record first came out. And I think WNEW was doing a live broadcast from the Ritz.
Oh, really?
And I was at that show. And a place.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The place was packed. It was ridiculous.
They're such a good band.
Oh,
he's one of my all-time favorite guitar players.
He's so unique. He doesn't sound like anybody else. That's, fantastic.
And his tone, he's got like a can of bees tone. It always sounds like an angry can of bees, but he makes it work. It's I love his tone when he plays, but I know if I played something that sounded like that, I would sound so shrill and terrible.
Right.
But, like, he can make the can of bees thing work.
Can of bees. That's a great analogy. Oh my God. Yeah, I was really impressed by all of it, including the LTD line. I thought there's some really great stuff there. I'll put a couple of links in the show notes for that. Go check them out. I thought they were great. I thought they were really cool. The single
Bill
cut.
Kelleher. Oh, I like the double cut, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, there's a single cut there with one pickup that I was like, that's cool. I would definitely play that.
Yeah, that harkens back to almost like that when, you know, Hammett had that Melody Maker looking one back in the day with the spider on it. That's, you know, kind of has that vibe going.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that Kelleher, I like that Kelleher one, the double cut with the thick body, because it almost reminds me of a Les Paul meets like that Yamaha SG2000.
Yes, yes.
Setup.
Yes.
And he says it's like 13 pounds, which just reminds me of like
God.
70s and 80s Les Pauls.
Oh, yeah, that's 77, 78.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig that. Like my 82 Les Paul's 11 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I love it. So I think that's what I want to try one of those just to see how heavy it is.
Yeah.
And you know, it's got whatever his Fishman pickups in it, or is it got, like, I think it said it was Littleman's pickups.
Yeah.
I might be confusing that.
How do you feel about the Silver Burst?
Not my thing.
I hate the Silver Burst. Everybody makes such a fuss over Silver Bursts.
I think that guy Adam Jones didn't play a Silver Burst, nobody give a crap.
Mm.
I think he brought it back, but I don't know. Silver Burst, not for me.
Not for me either. I don't know. Well, I guess, you know, to each his own. But yeah, no, I really like that single cut. That was really nice. I'd like to try one. But yeah, cool. All right, next. We're up to full tone.
Yeah, so that's an interesting partnership, I guess, you would say. Because I'm not sure if Jackson Audio owns them or owns part of it. Because I know that Mike Fuller is still on as everything's got to go past him. Creative design wise and everything, but Jackson Audio is building the pedals and you know, coming up with new stuff. So it's interesting. I'm, you know, everybody that was buying when he went out of business, people were buying OCDs for crazy money. Now that they're back, I guess that people are going to be very sad that they spent a lot of money.
Yeah, they're going to be upside down.
OCDs.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, he's a polarizing cat, but I do love his pedals. The ones that I have. So, and Jackson Audio's high end, you know, builders. So it should be good. It should be a good partnership.
All right, well, I guess we'll have to see what new stuff comes down the line.
Yeah. Well, I think right now they just got a couple of the, like they brought the OCD right back and everything. And I think the price didn't change because they said the time of closure, the OCD was $130 and that's what they brought it back at, $129.99.
So. And what are LTDs going on? What are OCDs going for right now on Reverb, I wonder? Let's see here.
I don't know how much it would have changed, you know, since they announced that within the last 2 weeks.
Well, version 1 Series 4 is going for $135. Version 2 Transparent is going for $135.
You know. Right, so the old ones are selling for what the new ones sell for.
Yeah, and then I see one here for $265. There's another one here for $442.
But that might have been signed by Rico, so it's crazy. When you get into this full tone stuff, there was a builder there named Rico.
Yeah.
And he signed the boards beside Rico. If it says Rico, people pay more money for it. I mean, I don't know why. He's using the same solder and the same components as the guy that was building next to him. But, you know, the forums, I don't know, a decade ago, maybe a little more, started in going, well, if you want a good one, you have to have, you know how people are.
Sure.
With this, they're like, it has to say Rico, and then it's special because he sprinkled, you know, unicorn dust into it. And the people buy, they pay extra, but it says Rico. It's funny because I'll buy them off of like Guitar Center online and have them shipped. And the first thing I like, it's like looking for the golden ticket, like a Wonka bar. I open it up. I'm like, please say Rico. And it says Sam. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Because
you know, as soon as I get the golden ticket and it says Rico, it's going right on Reverb. They're like, this is a Rico. $400, please.
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 It's a handful of gimme and a mouthful of much obliged. Okay, cool. All right. The Keeley Muse. It's a pedal that is a collaboration between Andy Timmons and Robert Keeley. And it's every angle and modification that you could possibly do to date of a blues driver. That's what it is.
Right. And it sounded really good.
It sounds phenomenal. Especially with the halo.
Oh, yeah.
With the Keeley
halo. The halo's a spectacular pedal.
That's outrageous. And together they are... Robert Keeley is brilliant. He's a genius. Josh Scott calls him a genius. He's a genius. And it's like he... I don't know, when he designs something, it's like he can feel it as he's designed. Like he envisions it, he hears it in his head, and he puts it on a breadboard, you know, on a circuit board. And it's astounding, and I love it. I think it's such a great pedal.
Yeah, I was concerned when I first seen it before I heard if that meant that they weren't going to do the At Driver anymore by JHS, because that's a great pedal.
Right.
And but I think that this is far different enough to where both lines will probably still exist.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's pretty different. And I think there's more coming from those two.
I'm sure.
Based on some of the stuff I looked at and interviews I listen to, I think there's more coming from those two. It should be fascinating. But I mean, you know, we're looking at a new design parameter for Keeley coming now. You know, with the Noble Scream or Noble Screamer. Mm-hmm. Was it Noble Screamer or Noble Scream? I can't remember. That and then now this. There's a new look. New design parameters. So I think 2024 is going to be really interesting at Keeley. It's very exciting.
I agree.
So I'm super psyched for that. All right. Talk about the Two Rock acquisition.
Yeah, I didn't even know that Divided by 13 was out, to be honest with you. So I was interested in when I seen that. It was kind of a surprise to me that they acquired Divided by 13, but both are great amps. Two Rocks are amazing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and Divided by 13, those are phenomenal amps. So.
I would imagine that Two Rock now is the leader in boutique amp.
Yeah, I mean...
Far and away.
As far as that, like, super high-end stuff, 100%, and that Dumbly, you know, vein, I think they got sealed up probably the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So this should be interesting. I mean, I don't know if this is going to change Divided by 13's methodology or where they're going to build or any of that, if it's going to be sort of like what happened with Yamaha and Guild, you know, but we'll see. Should be interesting.
That guy who owns Two Rock, I forget his name, but he's really passionate about this stuff. So I'm going to guess that Divided by 13 was always a high quality brand. I'm going to imagine it's either going to stay the same or even be brought up a notch by being under that, you know, that parent company.
Yeah. So that should be interesting. I'm curious to see what's going to happen. Like we said earlier when we first came on, this is going to be a very interesting year. You know, I think people are really making a big push towards, you know, hey, we're here and this is something new and this is something a little different. And, you know, which is nice because I have been getting weary of the same old thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little weary about it, you know. There's a couple coming up that I'm, you know, I will definitely give you my meh, you know.
I see it in the notes.
Yeah, it's in the notes. Meh. Cower Guitars.
Yeah, that one that you sent me. Yeah. Does not do it for me.
No. What the hell is that? And you know,
I don't know if I can say what I said.
Well, no, you shouldn't. Now, now, but other Kaur models are really, really nice.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I always say everybody gets one Saint Anger, and there you go.
Everybody gets one Saint Anger. Oh, you do. My God.
Everybody gets one Saint Anger, and that Firebird-looking thing their Saint Anger, because that is not for me.
You are hysterical. That's great. Yeah. I love that. That should be on a
t-shirt.
You're
going to get a lot of hate mail for this.
That should be on
one guy. The one guy that likes Saint Anger is going to be like, you guys.
And you know what? I don't. I like. I do like Saint Anger. I think it was just a different approach. That's all. They were just. They were just going for something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, they can't all be zingers. So.
Okay. Next is Black Star.
Well, sum it up in the notes. What do you think, Mark? Black Star.
It's just, you know. It's just, I don't know. You know, when they first came out, some of their amps were like, wow, this is fantastic. You know, it was really cool for a little bit. And now they're just kind of like rehashing. It's not.
Yeah, they don't do anything for me.
Yeah, it's not. So, yeah, it's not.
I agree. The original stuff when it came out was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then a lot of quality issues with it. Like, because the studio I would rehearse in and stuff had them, and they would blow up, and they were disposable at that point.
Right.
Like the vocal amp techs were like, this is made to be thrown out, which is a drag.
Right.
And so I just never got into them. But all this stuff with that ID core and their modeling, that's a stiff market anymore. And there's so much good stuff that you've got to really bring your A game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this didn't do anything for me. For but sure. If you have a Black Star and you're listening, I mean,
no, I mean, play the shit out of that thing, like, man. It's a good amp. It's a good amp. It's just that they're not bringing anything interesting to the table now. It's kind of okay. This is, you know, unfortunately, in this industry,
too young to be a legacy brand. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
You can't rest on the past when the past was only 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know. Unfortunately, this industry is what have you done for me lately? That's what it is. You know what I mean? And, you know, which is why I'm surprised that, you know, brands like Gibson, you know, keep putting out the same thing over and over again and people keep lining up. But that's because that's a legacy brand, a true legacy
brand. I am those people. I will keep lining up.
All right. So there you go. There you go. Jackson.
I didn't see anything that stuck out to me. It's a lot of colors
and
graphics.
Yeah, colors and graphics. Great guitars.
That was I got Jacksons. I mean, I like them for when I want to feel like I'm a shredder. But they nothing that they brought out. You know, I don't really care about the colors that much.
Yeah, so. But the colors are great. Great guitars. And to me, in their own way, are a legacy brand.
100% a legacy brand.
Yeah.
They can keep handing me the same designs over and over again with different paint jobs like they're doing this year. Yeah. And I still think they're cool. I just, there's nothing to really talk about involving it.
Right. They're not making any strides here as far as.
Right.
Yeah. New, anything new.
They need to bring back, you know what they need to bring back? They need to bring back the Surfcaster and the Roswell Rogues.
Yeah, man.
Then we'd be like, right, those two things, you'd be like, wow, you know, I can't believe they brought that back. Get a Surfcaster, I got to buy an Eastwood, you know, because the original Surfcasters are so expensive now.
Yes, bring back the Surfcaster. That would be freaking cool. Sign me up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And bring it back at a reasonable price point.
Yes.
Not a custom shop version.
No. I'm with you all the way. That would be cool, you know. Make a Scott Ian Surfcaster.
There you go. Oh my God, I would buy that.
Right, because he played them.
He did. Yeah. That's the only guy I can think of that played them.
Yeah, me too.
And they were cool, and I should have bought them when I was a kid, and I didn't. But I would get that to go with the Scott Ian, you know, that amazing pedal that I got.
Yes,
the Scott Ian.
That's right.
Weapon of Mass Destruction or whatever it's called. And
Stormtroopers of Death or something.
I have the Scott Ian Jackson, you know, the double cutaway one that looks like Gene Simmons' bass.
Right.
I forget what they call, but I have that. So, I mean, I like Scott Ian.
Me too.
I mean, I know they make a Flying V, but we need a Surfcaster. So yeah. Fender, Jackson, if you're listening, we need a Surfcaster. And Mark and I would both like to demo them. So make one lefty, yes, one righty, and yes, we'll make sure you sell a million of them.
Send them our way. We're all over it.
Yes. Okay. We'll send them back probably when we're done.
No, we won't.
You can't tell them that.
We, oh, sorry.
We'll send them back.
Okay, here's out of the scratching my head, wondering what in the world is the Yamaha Pacifica, which has been known as a beginner's guitar, essentially, like a Squire, right? And now,
to a point.
Yeah, and now they've got this professional version, standard, coming in at almost $2,200.
I think that this is their direct answer to the Ibanez AZ series. Because, you know, the AZ runs from, you know, a $249 guitar all the way up to a $3,000, like in that series.
Right.
So I think they're trying to make the Pacifica like that, to me. So, you know, to give it a little more, I don't know if it's going to work, because I had the Mike Stern Pacifica years ago. That was nice, you know, but... this is going to be interesting to see if this takes off at this price point.
That's a hell of a price point. You're asking people to really plunk it down there.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff you can get in that price point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like when you hit that 2,200, I should say, if you're willing to go to the used market, there's a lot of nice stuff for $2,200 that you could pick up that would eat the Pacifica a lot.
Right. Like a PRS. Know?
Yeah, you can pick up a nice PRS. You can pick up, you could pick up a lower end Sur for $2,200.
Yeah.
If you find the right guy on the right day. And right. I mean, that's what the AZ series was from Ibanez, was their attempt to be like a Sur. And I think the Pacifica is trying to be like that. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, I don't foresee this being a thing, but I mean, it could be a thing. I can't even think of anybody other than Mike Stern to play something like that.
No, I can't either. Nope.
Maybe they should give one to Ty Tabor.
Yeah, I don't think
he had a signature Yamaha one time.
He did.
If they give it to him, if they're like, "Here, we're going to give you this," maybe he'd play it.
He's back to playing Mexican Strat, so.
I know.
And he sounds miraculous.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know what, Yamaha? Send Mark and I each one, and maybe you could change our mind. And we'll probably send it back. Well, if you tell us to keep us, we'll never get rid of it.
No,
probably.
Next up is the Dan Electro Nicholas 1966 OD Fuzz. It's
I'm gonna let you run with this one.
Yeah,
because you're the fuzz man.
It's $199, which is the same price that the Eisenhower Fuzz came out. 5-6 years ago, I guess. By Dan Electro. Amazing fuzz, fantastic fuzz. But I don't know if there's a whole lot of difference between, I mean, there is, because the Eisenhower is more of an octave fuzz, whereas the Dan Electro Nicholas 1966 is more of a maestro kind of a thing going on. But it is wildly versatile. When you go to the show notes at guitarradioshow.com for that fuzz, you'll see that guy, what's his name? Do you remember his name? He's a YouTuber.
No, I watched a video. I can't remember the guy that was playing on it.
RJ something.
Oh, Ronquillo.
That's RJ it. Ronquillo. Brilliant guitar player. And
yes.
I love his demos. And he shows you every single kind of sound that you could get out of that freaking thing. And
he really did, right?
It was a really thorough run through. Yeah, it was like a wash rag that he just rang dry. You know? And I'm definitely into this fuzz, but not at $200. So now I've noticed that the Eisenhower fuzz has dropped dramatically in price. So you can get that. You can get that for $100, $150 now. So this is one that I would wait on. But as I was going to say, as I said earlier about fuzzes, somehow or another in my feed showed up a fuzz from a year ago that came out a year ago by Fender in that Hammertones series.
Yes.
That fuzz is really interesting to me. So I went and I went and I searched a bunch on Reverb and I saved them. And of course, our friends in Brooklyn sent me an offer.
I love those guys.
So it's sitting there, and it's sitting there in the offers, and I'm thinking about pushing the button because it's super cool.
I'm gonna egg you right on to that. That's for sure.
But what I want to do first,
I'm buying something today.
Yeah. But what I want to do, you know, and that this has nothing to do with NAMM, but what I want to do first is I want to go plug back in my Lizard Queen, which I'm holding in my hand right now, and play that before I go and push the button.
It's funny because I clicked on the Lizard Queen, you know, just to watch it on my, because I just surf Reverb all night, and I clicked on it from our friends in Brooklyn. They sent me an offer on the Lizard Queen.
Really good price.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm gonna ask Mark about it.
It's fantastic. I love this pedal. It's so cool. It's a little intense right off the bat. As soon as you know, because you can't control the fuzz. So in other words, you turn it on. And it's fuzz. Let's go. Mm. You know what I mean? Everybody on board. Here we go. You know, that's the one thing about in retrospect with the Lizard Queen. I wish I could control. I mean, they have a balance, you know, but I'm going to do I'm getting ready to do a whole shitload of short attention span pedal reviews coming up.
Oh, nice.
For YouTube. So, those are, you know, a minute 30. That's it. In and out. No talking. Here it is. Here's a couple of things you can do with it. You decide. Those kind of reviews.
That's cool. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, short attention. Because everybody's got a short attention span. I hate when there's a shitload of talking before the review. You know, and before they hit me with some sound. You know what I mean? Just come on. Let's, you know, get to the chorus. Don't bore us. Get to the chorus. Let's go. What do you say? So
yeah, you know what I hate is when, like, you can't see it do anything other than what it's supposed to do.
Right.
Like when we were talking about Rabia the other day, and I love Rabia, great player. Amazing. And he was playing that guitar, and I'm like, but all he's doing is metal. I want to hear it do other things because I don't play metal all the time.
Right.
You know, same thing when you watch any of these reviews, people just do like the same. I want to hear, you know, in different states, take the Jackson and play some blues licks on it. Let me hear it from Randy Rhoads V. Sound like that too, because, you know, if you're doing a cover gig, chances are you're going to have to do a few different styles.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and everybody does it where it's like, check it out, it does metal.
Yeah.
Or check it out, it does blues, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to hear the cleans, I want to hear the in-between.
Yeah.
No, and bass demos are the worst, because either you're slapping or you're playing intricate jazz and there's no in between.
That's true.
And I'm like,
That's true.
Come on.
Yeah. Play some James Jameson. Let's see that.
Yes.
Let's hear that.
Something.
Play some Verdine White, maybe. Let's hear that.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
For sure.
That's what you need. Yeah. Not like, I don't want to see you slap like Victor Wooten.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that a little bit, but if you're going to do a 10-minute review, give me like 7 different styles.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. So anyway, that's the Dan Electro pedal, and I'm really interested. I'm really interested. So next is Fishman Fluence Modern. Wow, man, holy crap! What do you think?
All that Fluence stuff sounds really good.
It really
does. Anything I picked up that has Fluence in it is like really. I don't have anything. I don't have it in any of my guitars.
Yeah.
But everyone that I picked up that is Fluence loaded. Those are phenomenal. It's just a phenomenal, you know, thing that Fishman came up with, that whole series.
It is phenomenal. It starts at the modern, the sets start at $269.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's, I mean, no more than like an EMG set.
That's totally fine. Yeah. And it looks like Fishman is really kind of stealing the thunder.
Oh yeah, they're definitely, I would say, as far as an active pickup company and everything, they're the thing to have.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, next we have the Alex Lifeson stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, the amps are cool. Mm-hmm. The guitar is neat. I mean, if you're a Rush fan, it's pretty awesome. Godin makes good stuff. Godin's building it, or Godin, or however you say it. But, I mean, it's $4,000 a guitar.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a lot of scratch for what it is. But I do know, I have an acquaintance that plays in a Rush tribute show, and he ordered both versions.
Whoa!
Yeah, he's getting it with the trim, you know, because it's got a standard trim and then I think the Floyd Rose or whatever.
Right.
So he ordered two.
God bless him.
Yeah. Well, he likes to make their Rush show authentic with gear. So
that's going
to
be authentic, all right.
100%.
They should they should also hire a security detail when they go into a live show.
Oh, you should see the equipment they bring. It's crazy. Because they bring vintage synthesizers.
Taurus pedals, the whole thing.
Right? Yes, and all old, like, legit stuff, because that's their niche, is that they're using the correct...
Wow.
Correct equipment.
Wow.
And they sound good. I mean, they're very accomplished musicians.
Well, I believe it. Well, you have to be to play that stuff. It's you know, it's not simple. Especially the drums.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, I mean... This is cool. You know, God bless Alex.
Yep.
I guess he's enjoying retirement.
Yep.
And I doubt that I'll come across one in the wild.
Nah, I can't imagine. You know, I can't imagine strolling into a guitar center and seeing that.
No, and if you did see it, you'd have to feel bad for the guy that had to dump it there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he must be in a real bad way.
Yeah, because he got hosed.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's that.
All right, up next is the Third Man Hardware and Donner Pedals, the Jack White triple threat pedal there. They made one that was a yellow. It's got a distortion, it's got a phaser, and it's got an echo. And they made one that was specifically for NAMM. At $129, and you told me they're all sold out.
They're gone, yep.
Yeah, and I've got a bunch in my watch list on Reverb for $99.
I know, and as a show special today, I'm going to purchase one live on air.
while we're talking, you're going to purchase one.
While we're talking.
All right.
I'm going to buy it now. Hold on. I have it saved in my Reverb.
This thing is great, I got to say. All the demos I've seen, Andy did a demo for Reverb, and it is phenomenal. He makes everything sound good. But you know how many times I've bought something that because of his demo, and then I get it and I go, this thing sucks. I can't make it sound like that.
Well, it's got everything I like. It's got, you know, a distortion and a phaser. I love phasers, so
yes.
Boom, buy it now. I bought it.
That's it. He bought it, folks.
It has been bought, and I guess that it will be here later this week.
All right, then, fine. Fine. If that's how you're going to be, hang on a second. I'm going to go to the offer. Okay, we got the used. It's from our friends in Brooklyn. It says used, so I guess I don't know. I don't know what that means.
No, you know when they say used, they have to do that.
Open box.
It's selling it at a price.
It's open box.
But it's neither. It'll be brand new.
It will be brand new because that's what they said about something else that I bought last week, and it showed up and it was brand new. You know, cellophane and everything. So I'm going to go ahead and do the Hammertone fuzz pedal, which is not a NAMM item. This is a year old, this pedal, but It says
I just sent you the confirmation that thank you, your order has been placed. So you know I was not jiving.
Well, I'm doing the same thing right now. I've just accepted it. I'm going to my cart. I'm going to checkout. I love when my iPad says, "We recognize you on this device."
I love when my wife looks at my, you know, transactions for the weekend and she's like, "What the fuck?"
Oh my god. All right, here we go. Let's see here. One more step. Place the order. Processing. All right. There we go.
But see, that's how cool I thought that pedal was from those demos. I told you, I said, I might buy it live on the air.
Right.
And here, see, folks, that's why you got to listen every week. You don't know what could happen on guitarradioshow.com.
Oh, my God.
I'm glad they were sold out of the yellow ones, too. I didn't like the yellow one.
No, I like the black one.
I was looking at I like the black one better.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
The yellow one was not my thing. Yeah. So.
And what I was also pretty surprised at is the, what you call it? The, okay, I'm doing a picture of mine. I'm sending it to you. Okay, there we go. All right. Okay. So that's on its way.
Well, good. Now I got the picture so I can say to my wife, look, I had to keep up with them.
I got to say this same thing. So, there you go. We're done with that. Okay. Onward and upward. But yeah, what I was going to say was the Third Man Hardware pedal there, the three-piece pedal. It's like a fly, what do they call that?
Yeah, it's like a fly rig.
Fly rig. It's tiny. It's really small. I didn't expect it to be as small as it was, which is great. So, you know, it can work.
You throw it in your gig bag and
oh my God, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, way cheaper than a Tech 21.
Yeah. I wonder how big it is compared to the I'll have to lay it out next to the Tech 21 and take a picture when it comes.
Yeah. So.
Because I got the base fly rig.
Right. All right. Onward to the Sabre signature model for Rabia.
It does metal. I know that.
We know it does that. I'm sure it can do other stuff. It's just that's.
I'm sure.
That's his thing, and he was in the moment and you know doing his thing.
Oh, I love Rabia. So I mean,
he's a killer player.
Breaking chops.
He's a killer player. Really is. Rev amps.
Yeah, I mean, that sounded good, that 10th anniversary amp. I like that they were pretty innovative putting the two-note stuff in from the get-go. Like they were one of the early adapters of putting in all those IRs and everything into their amps. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
At $4,000, there's other amps I'd rather have. But I thought it sounded good.
Yeah, me too. I'd love to play one. I don't know.
I like the 20 watt. I played their 20 watters, and they're nice. I've thought about getting one on and off, but you know, because it's got the IR loader into it and everything, so it's good for recording. But I have so much shit that you can use to record and then play out that it's hard to justify.
Yeah, I get it. So Ernie Ball came out with some flats for guitar. Which should be
They sounded good. Yeah, I mean,
they sounded really good.
They're chrome flats, right?
So. Yeah, they're chrome flats, and they're you know, it's you're not going to do a lot of bending with flats, a whole bunch.
You can play a pretty authentic vintage blues though with it.
You can, absolutely.
Jimmy Vaughn does flats.
Yes, he does. He does. I think they're 13 gauge.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So that's crazy.
But he ain't bending, right? Flats, so.
He does some. I mean, there's some every once in a while, you know. But
you know what we need to do? Mm. We need to each buy a pack and throw them on a Strat.
Yeah, I was really thinking about doing that. Let's do
that. And see how it does.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. We'll put them on Strats and see how.
All right. We'll each order a set.
Okay. Game changer.
Yeah. That. Remember we were talking about too many knobs?
Yeah.
Yeah, too many knobs and cables. I glazed over when the guy was like, you can do this. I'm like, this is 100% not my thing. Good for anybody that's into it. That's great. I'm too feeble-minded to deal with it.
For those of you who are interested, they start at $299. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea. If you're into like that modular synth kind of like vibe and oscillating delay forever, mm-hmm. I'm not. I want to play Michael Schenker. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play, I'm trying to even think what we could think of. Who's the guy for Bowie?
Mick Ronson.
No, not the rock and roll guy.
Oh, Reeves Gabriel?
I could see Reeves using this.
Yeah.
But no, it was the producer. What the hell is his name?
Carlos Alomar. Oh, you're thinking of...
No, Eno. Eno.
Oh, Brian
this
Eno.
This is something that Brian Eno would use. Couldn't you hear him using
this? Yeah, sure. Sure, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. Next up, we have Vox.
I like Waz.
You do, and they've got two of them, and they're you know, it's all authentic and blah blah blah, and authentic casing. Yeah. The pre-order is $279 for the one classic Wah, but there was no price for the one called the Real McCoy. So it's not even listed at this point. Couldn't find it anywhere, but they said that those aren't coming out until the summer anyway. So. But they sounded great.
They did.
They sounded fantastic. And now Vox is also doing a hand-wired again, and they've slimmed the cabinet on the AC-15 and AC-30 and to make it more period specific.
I figured that this is more of like a historically correct.
Yes.
AC-30, yeah. Which it's interesting to me, all right, because Dave Friedman's coming out with his vintage line, mm-hmm. and he keeps talking about he's going to do a proper Vox copper top, mm-hmm. and then I seen this where they're talking about how they're making it their proper version of a copper top, mm-hmm. and I wonder if it was because of the demand of, the people that follow, like Dave and stuff, mm-hmm. when he's like, they don't sound like vintage ones because they're not done correctly, so mm-hmm. I wonder if this is response to that, sort of.
Could be. It could be.
I'm sure these are going to be ridiculously priced.
Oh, yeah. But they sound amazing.
Yeah, they got the sound.
Yeah, so. It sounds great. And then for bass players like us, there's the Dark Glass Combo bass amps that start at $10.99 and go to $13.99. They sounded really good. Some of them are digital platforms.
Right.
What'd you think? I really liked it.
I like them. See, I'm actually looking this year to upgrade my rig. Mm-hmm. So I was going at the studio that I rehearse at. They have the Dark Glass, a couple of different ones, and they sound really good. So I'm deciding between that or going with Aguilar. Mm-hmm. But then these combos came out, mm-hmm. and they really piqued my interest.
Yeah, I'm a combo guy all the way. Give me combos.
I like a head and cab.
Yeah,
generally. Yeah. But
you and I are very different when it comes to that. I just like to, I just want to put one thing in the car. You know what I mean?
I like, I get it. I just like having, if the combo goes down, I carry two heads with me so that I can always just plug into the cabinet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You always got backup then. Next up, we've got, from our good buddy Ted Kornblum and the folks at Magnetone, the long-awaited Slash signature amp. So I was texting with Ted recently. He's going to be on the show in a few weeks to talk more about it. Like I had said, and I heard somebody talking about it, how the whole thing got birthed. So this has been going on for over 2 years, this collaboration of them tweaking and trying to find what was going to be the best way to go. And it's finally here, and we finally got prices on it. The head is almost $5,000. The cabinet is $26.99. And you can get the bundle, do the half stack through Sweetwater at $7,600. Thoughts?
I thought that it was, you know, I mean, it's a boutique amp, so the prices aren't as crazy considering, you know, it's a signature boutique amp.
Right.
Thoughts are great sounding Plexi amp.
Yeah.
Like the demo I heard, it sounds like a really good Plexi. Does it sound like Slash? No. Slash is a lot more mid-range and a lot brighter, I think, than this. But does it sound like modern Slash? Could be, because I don't know what he's got coming out.
Well, that's exactly right. I think Slash is looking to expand, and he wants to develop along with his sound. And I thought it sounded fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it sounded great, yeah, as far as a Plexi thing. So, I mean, from what I understand, he's still going to use his Marshall stuff. I don't think that he has no deal with them anymore. He's using both in conjunction.
Right.
Or, you know, so.
Which would be pretty cool sound, if you think about
it. Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was a great overall Plexi type amp.
Yeah. I did too. I really, what I heard, I really liked, and I'm glad I finally got to hear it.
I'm glad they didn't just copy a Silver Jubilee and slap his name on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I definitely like that there's originality to it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that once you get past the shock of, well, that ain't what Slash sounds like, it's, if you look past that, it's a pretty good sounding amp.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked it. I really liked it. I look forward to talking to Ted more about it and hearing what else is going on with Magnetone this year.
I'm looking forward to hearing your interview with them.
Yeah, it should be fun. So Sire Guitars, man, I am really digging this line, both the guitars and the basses. I think it's fantastic. It's Larry Carlton and Marcus Miller are in deep with these guys. Pretty much the whole line is based off of their specs, the whole company.
Yeah.
And I went there. Remember last night we were texting and I was saying, man, I really want a Marcus Miller left-handed fretless P-bass, you know, P-style.
Yeah.
And so I went there last night. That model doesn't exist anymore. And certainly not in left-handed, and certainly not fretless. And everything they have left-handed, and I mean everything, is sold out.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely sold out. Completely sold out. And, you know, like 3 months ago when I was looking at it, there was plenty to choose from. But that just goes to show that the company is taking off. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what I saw.
Yeah.
I had some specific things that I wrote down that I liked.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to look at some of the vid of Larry Carlton playing in the booth yet.
I didn't see. I'd seen... I think it was the Tomon guys going over the stuff. I didn't watch Larry play anything.
Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of videos out there of Larry doing that. I'm going to try and find those and stick them in the show notes. But pretty cool.
Yeah. So these are the notes that I have on that.
Go
real quick. I'll go through because I thought the single P90 guitar was pretty cool, but that one that is called the L3 was three single coils,
right?
Like looking almost like it looked somewhere between like a retro old Goya meets a Harmony kind of Les Paul looking thing, but three single coil pickups.
Right.
Thought that was a pretty neat concept, and I thought the one that they labeled as the S10 reminds me of Carlton's old Valley Arts guitar.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and then the they have that shred guitar that they released, but right. I don't know, that wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
But their basses, they have what they're calling the F bass, which looks like a Federa.
Right.
And I'm a Federa player.
Right.
So that piqued my interest. I'd like to try that and see how that compares to, you know, the Federa. I'm guessing that's why they're calling it the F series.
Probably.
I mean, it looks like it looks like it's inspired by a Federa.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, the whole line is beautiful, really well constructed, and for those two guys to put their names on it, you know, it's got to be a good it's got to be a good instrument. It's got to be, especially Larry Carlton. I mean, just, you know, not taking away from anything away from Marcus Miller, but I hold Larry Carlton in such high regard. He's the real deal. He really is. Reverend Guitars, sorry. I'm just meh.
No, I wasn't excited about it. Do you care about Billy Corgan having a guitar that's tuned D to D in 26.2 inch scale?
Nah, I really don't care. I don't care about that at all.
And Reverend guitars are nice.
They're well constructed instruments. I've played many of them, and they make some really nice lefties and really nice. But there's something about the, you know, there's some companies that do it for me and some companies that don't. It's about lines. You know, it's like with cars. You know, you know, if the lines are there and you know, it does it for me, and then I want to play it. And then when I play it, I see what I can get out of it, you know, because for the most part, and some people might not even agree with me, but for the most part, you can take almost any guitar and with enough manipulation between pedals and amps and how the electronics are on the guitar, you can get almost anything you need to get. You know,
yeah, you can make it work.
Yeah, from 100%. An aesthetic standpoint, I, you know, Reverend guitars are very meh to me. You know?
Yeah,
but they're well constructed and great playing, great sounding instruments. But aesthetically, they don't do it for me. Okay, let's see. Did we already talk about Friedman?
No.
Okay.
But we can briefly touch that. Yeah. He's got his retro or vintage line coming out, which excited me because he's been talking about it for a couple of years, which is basically a one-to-one clone of vintage-specific amps that he owns. Like, his whole line is based off of his 68 Plexi.
Right.
And so now he's doing a one-for-one clone of that Plexi.
Right.
So it's not going to be juiced up with super high gain or anything. It's going to be like his amp.
Right.
Whatever mods it's had over the years that he's had into it.
Right.
And he's got like a Fender Deluxe type coming out, yeah. And a Vox Copper Top was like combos.
Right.
So it's basically all in mind for the vintage player.
Right. And
so there was no price yet or anything on it. I'm sure it's not going to be cheap.
It's not going to be cheap. No, but like every single thing he makes, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, he's the guy. I love Friedman stuff. I mean, that's my go-to amp is a Friedman.
Yeah, it's going to be astounding. I mean, what was that one that I played? I played a Gibson Custom Shop Billy Gibbons, the gold top one, with the pinstripes, into a Shirley something?
Dirty Shirley?
That's it.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's a great setup.
You don't need anything else after this. This is it.
No, you don't even need drive pedals with the
Hell no. I was like, this is just seamless. This is a match made in heaven. It was incredible.
No, he builds, and I mean, you can get great sounds at low volume with it. He's probably got the best master volume on the market and the most transparent effects loop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I'm a fanboy, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Great, great, great stuff. He's brilliant.
Now, also with them, because he's part of that boutique amps, was I like that Saldano is reissuing the rack-mounted, you know, the preamp, the right. SL, what is it? It's not the SLO 100. The preamp was called the XR99 or 88 or whatever it was, the purple preamp.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I'm sure it's going to be super expensive, but that's cool, just mm-hmm. that it exists again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally cool. Next up is Blue Guitar, the Amp-X, which is still in development, no release date or price.
Yeah, I don't know. This modeling and all this fly rigging and all that, there's a lot of competition in that market
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Blue Guitar builds a nice product, but I don't know. I mean, there's so much other stuff. It's really an oversaturated field.
Well, it's, you know, new technology and everybody's trying to, you know, get to the finish line. So, you know,
some of them, I mean, he does good. Thomas Blue has a good product, but some of them miss. There's one on this list when we get to it. I did not like.
Yeah. I really liked the Blue guitar one. I thought it was, the sound was incredible. And the, just the right amount of saturation, and it was really good. I mean, it sounded great. It just very appealing to me. But I don't know what the price would be for something like that. I was looking at some of the other Blue guitar stuff.
The original one wasn't the other stuff in the like $700, $800.
Yeah, it was in the $800 range. But
yeah, you know, I don't know for a little bit more.
Yeah, I think this new one's going to be more like between 12 and 2.
And then you get into fractal territory and then helix territory, and they really do a good job, those two.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's
So we'll see. Victory amps.
Those were cool.
They were.
$5,000 a head.
Yeah.
They sounded good.
Yeah.
I am not the buyer for that.
No, I'm not. That's not my world. But wow. Cool. Very great sounding. Great sounding.
I like the Victory amps I played through, so.
Yeah. Boss turns 50 this year. So how old is that?
Yeah, I like that they...
How old does that make Roland then? Makes you wonder.
I think Roland came out in like 1970, right? So maybe they're 54.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I could be wrong, but I think they were around 1970.
Okay. But yeah, so there was some really cool stuff for the 50th anniversary. You know, if you're a collector, that's really cool stuff. You know, I've been playing Boss since 1984. And I still have my original DM2 from 1984.
And it'll never die.
There is nothing wrong with it. Like, it's brand new. I mean, it's scratched up and, you know, there's barely any paint on it. But it's you know, it's like my Ibanez CS9.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Still on my board. Just won't die.
Well, but there's a reason why professionals use them.
Yeah. I mean, just so freaking good. And lately, I've been on a tear with Boss pedals. Over the last couple of years, you've given me two that I would never have bought for myself, but I absolutely love. That's the DS1 and the, what's it called?
Metal Zone.
Metal Zone that everybody should have so they can sound like Warren Haynes. And
go look it up. So you said that and people are like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, what's he talking about? Yeah, Warren Haynes uses a metal zone, yes.
So does Bonamassa. Bonamassa said that the other day. He said it's his favorite Boss pedal.
That's crazy, right? But yeah, it's all about how you dial it in. It's all about how you dial it in. And that's the beauty of Boss. I mean, I love it. I've got so many Boss pedals now. Just in the last year, I've gone Boss bonkers. the one that really is kind of, because I do so much recording, I'm kind of interested in the IR2.
It's neat.
Which is an amp pedal. It's a bunch of amps in a pedal. And it's based off of the, you know, if you look at the settings on the Microcube, it's those same settings, some of the same settings, you know, rectifier and British combo, crunch, you know, stuff like that. Brown, right?
Yeah.
So I'm interested. At $199, you know, I'll wait a little while. I'll find one for $150, you know.
Yeah, but I bet it'd be worth it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. It's a great tool. Great tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any thoughts on Boss for you?
No, you summed it up. Yeah. I mean, that was the 50th anniversary stuff is cool.
Yeah.
The IR2 is neat. Again, it's in that market of everything else that everybody's shifting to.
Yeah. I would like to try out the guitar synthesizer. That would be fun, the new one.
Yeah, I love that you don't need the pickup, because I have the Roland guitar since two of them, and you know, you either need a guitar with the pickup built in, or the pickup, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. I like that just tracks using regular.
Yeah,
so
that's super cool.
Yeah.
So from Music Man, we had the Petrucci models.
A lot of new colors.
It's all about the colors, man. Everything's so green.
Zach Tane bringing his new colors.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. They had new colors.
The Stingray bass.
New colors.
New colors. And
nice colors.
Great
colors.
And a great instrument.
Phenomenal industry instrument. Standards, Stingray bass.
Yeah, phenomenal instrument. But new colors. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
But, I mean, you can't really. What can you do with this thing, Ray Bass? Like,
well, yeah, it's hard
kind
to.
Of perfect. There's nothing like you're gonna roast the maple neck, okay? Yes. But they've offered that before, so you get some new colors. That's cool.
It's hard to improve on that. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a fantastic instrument. That, you know, there's just nothing to do to it.
Yeah,
it's hard to come out with something new when you've got perfection.
Right, I agree. So. This was something you turned me on to, the Taylor living room furniture.
Circa 74. I love the fact that it's furniture looking.
Yes.
Like, I love that. I have no use for it because, you know, but if I was like a gigging acoustic guitar player or whatever, I would buy that.
Yeah.
But if I knew my wife would let us have it in like the living room, it doesn't go with her motif, but it goes with my motif, I would have that.
Oh my goodness. And Moore, which is, you know, they're such a sleeper company. I think they make some really cool stuff. And here they're diving into Bluetooth territory. They're building guitars. They're trying. I thought that was like
the next evolution of Variax. You're using your iPad to tell the guitar what pickup configuration it is.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It's not for me because it's too.
It sounded good. Yeah.
It did sound good.
It really sounded
good. Danish Pete plays good, so he's going to make everything sound good.
That's true. It sounded really good, but.
It reminds me of, you know, how last year Seymour Duncan did the Bluetooth switching setup where you put the switch in the guitar and you use your Bluetooth and it'll tell it how you want to route the pickups?
Yeah.
It's like that, where you're telling through the iPad what the pickup configuration of the guitar is. Mm-hmm. And has, I don't know, I just look at it and I'm like, this is going to fail at some point. Yeah. And then that's a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, that's what I'm finding with, you know, like I've been searching for a Variax and everyone that I run up against, there's a saddle that's out, you know, so it's because they're individual microphones or, you know, pickups.
Yeah. So, thank God. I'm not going to warn that mine has been fine.
So I think, you know, as the technology ages, it's somehow or another, sort of like, you know, like we were talking about with the boogies and the circuit boards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff starts to crap out. Especially, you know, what somebody explained it to me about the circuit boards was that it heats up and then cools down and heats up and then cools down. And then eventually starts to crack and connections get lost.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on the thickness of the circuit board and everything.
Right.
So, you know, but when you get to that kind of circuit boardy thing, like when I called Rivera about my amp, well, previous Rivera that I had, they were like, listen, we just want to sell you the whole board to drop back in
for
$500 instead of repairing it. And I'm like, that's crazy. You can't just say what component it is. And like, it's board based. It's meant to be thrown out.
Yep.
This is kind of shitty, but.
That is shitty. I think that's shitty. I think that's really bad.
Especially for expensive stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the same thing with phones and computers. So, you know, it's absurd.
Yeah.
Everything's going that way. Everything's a landfill item. It's ridiculous. All right. What next? What are we looking at? Oh, Flamma.
Flamma effect? I didn't like that.
Yeah, it was okay.
I didn't think it sounded that good compared to everything else that's out that does the same thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad Cat. Those sounded good.
They did. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't hear the price. He didn't say anything about the price.
Couldn't find a price. I was looking.
I'm curious what it's going to cost. Yeah. They built nice stuff. Yeah. That sounded good. I like that it's got the IRs built into it.
Yep.
You know, for recording purposes and everything, or going in front of house mm-hmm. and whatnot. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's definitely an up-and-comer. I think that should be interesting. I think the price is going to be high, though. I think it's.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah. Then
although unless it's an import amp, because they have American line, then I think they have some imports. So if it's an import, it might be a little bit, you know, in the $1,200 range. Yeah, I don't know. I guess okay. We'll see.
Well, that's doable. Then there was this boutique maker, Diego Vila.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah.
They seemed like they're probably more up your alley than my alley.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. I liked it.
I like that other thing that you sent, the other boutique guy.
Sully?
Stratty. No, the other guy, Stratty, with the basses that had like three-inch like 3-inch wide acoustic bass.
That was crazy.
It was gorgeous instruments.
Really? I mean, just so unique looking and, you know, not obtrusive. I mean, that one with a lot of colors in it was a little, that's a little intense.
Yeah, I like the one that really threw back to like an upright bass.
Yes,
that
me too.
I thought that was a gorgeous instrument.
Yep.
And I really like respected the craftsmanship that went into that.
Same here. And then PV came out with another Adrian Vandenberg.
Which is cool that they reissued that. I'm so curious on where that reissue is from because like the HP guitars are built in Europe.
Right.
So I'm wondering if this is Asian or if it's European, or if they're going to have two lines where it's, you know, you're going to have both. But I'm hoping that it's European.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm trying to find it now, and there are no results for that as of right now.
Yeah, there was just that little blurb. There was no talk of pricing
or anything. Then we had Red Panda. And then you sent me yesterday this, how do you pronounce their name?
I thought it was like Enki.
It looks like Enkusa.
Oh, I think it's Enki USA.
Oh, Enki USA. Okay.
Yakuza.
I thought, well, maybe it's a Japanese. Maybe it's a Japanese company. Yeah, the Yakuza. So this is a case.
Yeah, like a
multi-case.
A vault. For like if you're touring.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I mean, I think it's $580. Mm-hmm. That seems like a good price to me. Mm-hmm. I hadn't noticed it. Another friend sent it to me, and he's like, "You travel with expensive basses when you play." He's like, "You should probably have this." And I was like, "Wow, that's actually, I like this vault." So, I mean, I'm definitely considering buying it.
And how much was it? What was the?
$589.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, this is something that will probably survive down a flight of stairs, right?
I'm guessing it will survive falling in the ocean, plummeting from a plane, any of that. So,
and we know how often that happens. So,
with my luck, you never know.
So. Oh my God! And then finally, we're going to wrap up with this dealer that I found him highly amusing.
Yes, he was very entertaining.
He was shot out of a cannon, that guy. His name, the company is called Sully Guitars. I want to interview this guy because just for the fun of it. But he's making some pretty badass looking guitars, very metal. The single cut I really dug.
I liked the V too.
And the V was cool too.
The Concord.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice. I liked that he was talking about how it's arched, so you didn't need the bevels.
Yes. Yeah. So those were pretty cool too. And once again, folks, you can go to guitarradioshow.com and go to the show notes and you'll see links for all this stuff. It's all sitting there waiting for you. But overall, man, I got to say, this was really good. All right.
Yeah, I thought it was a good return for NAMM.
Absolutely.
Like, when I say return, you know, being in January again and everything, yes. I actually thought it was pretty good.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, you said that we were going to do our top five picks of NAMM 2024. These are items that we are interested in owning. So go ahead.
And some we might own already.
Some, by the looks of things, yes.
All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. These are the top five that I wrote for me.
All right. Go from five to one. Go from five to one.
All right. Number five was the Sire F-Bass.
Okay.
That was cool.
Yes, that is cool.
Number four was the Third Man, which now I own, so I might have to bump that and put the I'll put the Taylor 74 because I bought the Third Man. So, live on the show, folks. Number three, I put the Friedman Vintage Plexi Amp. Number two was the Ibanez Iceman. Because I loved that.
Uh-huh.
And number one was the EVH. SA-126.
Wow. I would have never expected that.
Oh, I'm an EVH fanboy, so.
Yeah, rock on. That's good. All right. Well, my
honorable mention was the Lurks and the Saldano, because it technically wasn't out, so they had no information on it. They were just showing it.
Right.
So the Lurks was the honorable mention, because I think four grand steep for what it is. But
yeah. Yeah, for sure. I agree. Well, for me, number five is the Keeley Muse driver, which is probably more up higher. The Epiphone DG335, if I can get it in the lefty. Number three is the Third Man Hardware and Donner. That might happen today, so who knows?
You have to curb your enthusiasm, brother. You just want the hammer tone buzz.
I'm just resigning myself. I'm just going with it now at this point. It's like, oh, fuck, I just give up. The Dan Electro Nicholas 1966 Fuzz and the MXR Joshua. Honorable mentions, we already said we're going to both pick up a set of Ernie Ball flats and definitely the Boss IR2. I think I'm going to end up with about 3/4 of this stuff in my collection by the end of February.
Yeah, I already foresee you getting a Muse driver as soon as it's available.
Yeah, well, it's available, and I saw it for...
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's on Reverb for $199, I believe I saw it.
Okay, well, wait a little bit.
I saved a bunch. Down. Let's see here. I saved a bunch. Let's see here. Why did that open? Hang on. Sorry, folks. Oh, it's not there. Keeley. I am excited about that pedal, man, I gotta say. It sounded great. And I'm such a blues driver fan, and I own a Super Fat Mod, too. Yeah, $199 is the going. I'm seeing it. Some people got it for higher, $231. But $199, free shipping, pretty much everywhere. And there's tons.
You know, if you got that, you could probably sell your Super Fat Mod and stuff because it's already in there.
Well,
it's the pedal.
Funny you should say that.
See, I'm justifying you purchasing.
Yes. So I was thinking of going, okay, I'll just get rid of my Blues Driver and my Super Fat Mod because I've got both. And I've got a couple of Love Pedal items that are going on the chopping block too. So.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah. So that'll do it. But no, I'm going to wait for the price to come down because it will come down. It will come down.
I mean, so, it just got released.
I'm not one of those people. I got to have it right now. I mean, look how long I waited for the RevStar.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You turned me into an I got to have it right now after you sent me those videos of it yesterday. And I'm like, son of a bitch. But at least I went with, because remember when you were looking, you were like black or blue, and then you went with black. At least I was like, I'm going with the blue then, because I had picked the blue for you. I said, oh, get the blue. Like, I like black. I'm going to get the blue.
Well, there you go, folks. That's NAMM 2024. Quite a return. Definitely a different feel, different vibe of like it used to be. Hopefully a lot of our good friends who were there didn't get anthrax, and they come home. They come home safe, happy, and healthy. Shout out to Rob Balducci. How are you? And well, everybody else that we saw out there, Ted Kornblum. So yeah, this was a good one. I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, it felt like old times.
Yeah.
You know, the last two, you know, well, the first one after the pandemic felt like, you know, frightening still.
Yeah.
Last year felt like failure to launch. This one felt like a return.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there you go, folks. You can go to guitarradioshow.com, go to the show notes. You'll see all the links for everything that we talked about today. And I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Everybody, enjoy.
All right. We're going to go out with a piece of music called I'm Freaked. And
it should be I'm Broke.
Because yeah, it should be I'm Broke. Yeah, but it's there's a track called I'm Freaked. It should be. I think it's because I'm freaked about how much money I'm spending.
Cool. My wife's freaked.
My wife's freaked. That's better. I like that. Anyway, so here's some tunage on the way out, and we'll see you soon. Peace, y'all. Rob?
Oh, I'm sorry. Bye.
Later, y'all.
Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, GuitarRadioShow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, if you like the artists you hear on Guitar Radio Show, don't just stream their music, buy it.
GRS Productions.